Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, listeners, I have another wonderful and really interesting program for you today. It's all about the social problems and challenges that women can expect to face in their 20s and 30s. My guest today is David Morin. He is the creator of Social Pro, which today has thousands of daily readers online. Now, Social Pro also has conducted a research study examining women and different areas of their social life, particularly in the areas of friends and dating. And today, he will discuss the findings of that research and recommendations for how women can manage those social challenges. And of course, listeners, as always, I will also have some strategies and recommendations as well. So stay tuned. But to learn more about David and Social Pro, please visit socialpronow.com. So welcome to the program, David. So nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Terry.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I can't wait to get to the research findings. But before we get to the findings, tell us a bit about you, David, and Social Pro in general.
So this started off as a blog 2012. And I was so fascinated about social interaction, this thing that seems almost magical, why some people are such social butterflies and why others just don't like it. So I wanted to go deeper into that, and I started blogging about it, and it turned out to be this huge interest into the subject, because very few actually write about these challenges like we found in the study that we will talk about later. Yeah, so I was born in Sweden. I live in New York City now, and this is what I do full-time. I write about social interaction.
But do you write about women and men? Because I know we're going to be talking about women, and the study looked at women's challenges. So, yeah. You know, you're male, you're a man.
Yes.
Why were you interested in women's challenges or social challenges?
So what we saw when we started looking into the numbers, because we looked at data both in surveys we've done with men and with women, we have about 60% of our readers are women. But we saw that there was almost no existing research on women's social life struggles. And there's a lot of research on men's struggles. So that's why we wanted to specifically go into women's struggles and look more into that and unveil and try to understand how women's social lives really look and how they differ from men's.
I see. So basically, Social Pro writes a blog, or you write a blog, and that's about social interactions and challenges in general.
Yes.
But since the readership is more female than male, and the research really hasn't talked about women's challenges enough, you decided to delve deeper into those social challenges. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. And we also found some interesting things. I'm very happy that we did do that.
That's great. And the women, well, tell us about who are the people who answered this survey. Who did you survey?
So we surveyed, we sent out a survey to we have this big email list of 30,000 people. And we sent out surveys to many of these people. And those who are on our list are people who in some regard want to improve their social lives. So that's the basic premise of the study. Women who want to, in some aspect or another, improve their social lives, we asked them a bunch of questions. And what we did was that we divided the answers based on age group, and then we could sort of map a picture of how women's social life struggles change over life.
I see. And so how many women did you get to answer this question? And how long was the survey? So was it short, giving people the ability to really, you know, answer them or what?
Yeah. So we had a qualitative aspect to the survey, meaning we asked women open-ended questions about their biggest social life problems and struggles. And then we had a quantitative part of the study where we asked them to rate on a scale to 1 to 10 to how motivated they were to improve. And we used the data, we chose to only look at women from westernized countries to get a more homogeneous answer cohort. And finally, we used the answers from around 250 women, and that's what we used for the survey.
That's great. And that's a large group of women. And by the way, I should tell listeners that that mixed design of both qualitative and quantitative data, which really means, as David said, open-ended questions and then closed-ended questions where people are going to respond with a number, is wonderful because you really get at all parts of the research question. So I love that. Being a researcher myself and a scientist, David, I love those terms, right? But I have to explain them to listeners as well. I'm such a research nerd.
I love that.
I love it too. So let's talk about some of your key findings, because I know listeners are going to be interested. Let's talk about the first few findings. First, that women struggle the most to find like-minded friends in their early 20s, as well as the finding number two, that women in their early 20s struggle to keep in touch with their friends. So friendships seem to be very difficult in women's early 20s. Explain these findings to us further. And what's your interpretation, David?
Yeah, so we were surprised to see these massive differences. I mean, if we compare women who are in the late teens to women who are in their late 20s, it's like two different worlds. So one thing we saw is how when you enter your early 20s, you suddenly stop keeping in touch with your old friends. Not all of them, but you start struggling with keeping in touch with a lot of your old friends. And you also struggle to find people who are more like you. And we think that this is because you change a lot, your brain matures, you want to meet friends who have different interests than the previous ones. And we also know from other studies that if friendship in the teens is about watching movies together or playing together, now we want much more from our friends. We want someone who's also our therapist and someone who we can discuss old struggles and troubles in life with, and who is more of a companion than it was before when we were younger.
And I agree with you, David. I mean, being a social psychologist myself, you know, when girls or women are in high school, they're looking for others to help them form their social identity and who they are and what they're all about. And so friendships become very important, and people who have common interests are very important. And that's probably very true in college as well. 18 to 21, the girl or woman who is traditionally in college during those years. But when women leave high school, when they leave college, those opportunities to meet people with common interests change and are reduced. They don't have the people in their classes. They don't have people in the clubs that colleges or high schools allow women or girls to form friendships. And so it becomes very, very different and much more challenging. You know, it's interesting because I'm a college professor as well. And I always tell students when they're in my classes to introduce themselves to the people who are next to them and talk to the people in their classes, because it's something called the MERE exposure effect in psychology, which means that mere contact, mere exposure with people increases liking. So that if you can see the people in your classes at your college or university, if you can talk to them, they're much more likely to like you and you to like them. And so it doesn't take very much, right? But when you don't have those opportunities after college, it's much more difficult. So I agree with your interpretation given psychology research. Very, very interesting. So what would you recommend then that women do after their early 20s to encourage them to keep in touch with friends or to find like-minded friends?
Exactly. Yeah, that's a shift that I think take many off guard. Just as you say, when we are in college, just being in close proximity of people is enough to have a completely functioning social life. And then suddenly all of that changes. And we also see in other studies that as soon as we are older than 30, we start getting really, really picky with who we want to hang out with, and we start to wonder if people are worth our time. We become more picky for some reason, biological or what it may be. So what we want to do is to find friends who we have things in common with, where we have mutual interests or mutual worldviews. And instead of just having the person in your class, you want to diversify, you want to look at a broader horizon and look in groups that share your interests. Personally, I have most of my friends are from interest groups that are either one group I started a few years ago in philosophy. I have a lot of friends from that group, and I have other friends from a business group. And why? Well, because these are people who share my interests. And that's the recommendation I have as well, to try to branch out and look at groups where people, where you might find like-minded. That becomes more and more important as we grow older.
I like that. And I agree with you again, you know, look for groups, meetups based on your interests. And not only then are you likely to find friends, but you're likely to find romantic partners as well,
yes,
who are like-minded, common interests. And I always tell people, David, that it's so much easier than to talk to someone, because if you go out in the world and you don't know the interests of people, then questions and asking people questions can be less easy, less comfortable. But if you know, you joined a book group or you joined, like you did, a business group, then you have that interest to ask questions about, right? You can, yes, read an article and say, did you read that article? Or you're both at at a book club and you hear somebody talk about their book, it's an author, then you know that everyone there likes books. And you can say, wow, if you liked this author, who else do you read?
Yes.
So it's so much easier to communicate with someone.
Less risk for social awkwardness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And you can come up with those questions as well. And so you've got friends and you've got romantic partners. Much easier. I'm constantly telling people to join groups that interest you. So that's exactly, yes, what I tell and recommend to people, especially if you're shy, especially if you are in your 30s, 40s. I tell that to people 60s, 70s as well, David.
Yeah.
Because I think as we get older, the opportunities to have those people in our social circles is reduced. So you're talking about 30s, but I think it occurs even as we get older. So join groups that interest you, that meet regularly as well. So you can take that opportunity of the mere exposure effect even more so. So that's,
yes,
really interesting.
To add on that, Terry, I agree completely. And also, I usually give the advice to join a group with an interest that is as narrow and niche and specific as possible. Because if you join a group that is new in town or meet new friends, you will meet people from all walks of life. And it's much harder to have a way to start talking with these people because you don't quite know what to start talking about. But if you're really into bird watching and you join a bird watching group, you have 1,000 different things to talk about. And also you're more likely to find people who not only have the same interest, but they probably also have the same personality. So there's probably a big difference in personality between the bird watchers group and the group who goes and watch rugby on the weekends. And that's something you can benefit from by having a group that's very specific in its interest.
I like that. So the more narrow or more specific, the better is what you're saying for friends and for romantic partners. I
Yes.
like that. Good suggestions, good recommendations. Now, I know you also found, as we turn to dating for a second, that women entering their 20s change the way they date. What does this mean? And I think this is fascinating. So explain to listeners.
This was also very interesting for us to see. So we see that in the late teens, women primarily tell us that they want to be better at talking to someone they are attracted to. They lock up and they feel nervous and they don't know what to say. But when as they grow older, they are less worried about what to say, and they worry more about improving their dating skills in general. And we think that this goes hand in hand with wanting more of your friendships, you also want more out of your dating life. So if in our teens, dating is about, finding this cute guy or seeing this cute guy and developing a crush on him in school, now it's suddenly that you want more out of your dating life. And maybe the guys that are around you, they don't fill your needs, and you want to broaden your horizons and look at other things or other opportunities. And that's why you want to be better at dating in general.
So explain to that to us again, David. I wasn't quite sure that I understood. So you're saying that people in their 30s are less worried about their dating skills or more
No.
worried about their dating skills?
So as we enter our 20s, we want to improve our dating skills. So we become more motivated to improve our dating skills, but we become less motivated at improving talking to someone we're attracted to. And so these are two different issues in a way. So one is might be that we improve socially as we grow older, and it's easier to talk to someone we're attracted to. Maybe when we were in our teens, we locked up and blanked out completely. Now we can talk to someone we are interested in, but we want to find the right one, or we want to find someone outside of our close proximity, and that's why we want to improve our dating skills. But the dating skills continue to change throughout life, and we see that as we grow even older, as we go into our 30s, it becomes even more important to improve our dating skills. So it continues to grow over life. Now, when we look at the data, we need to obviously look both at women who are in relationships and women who are not in relationships. If we divide and look at women in relationship, obviously if dating is no longer an issue for them. But as soon as we're single, that becomes a very big issue, especially as we approach our 30s, because then, the biological clock might start ticking and so on.
And one romantic other becomes even more important as women age, given at least in the United States, the American culture.
Yes. And this is in westernized countries. So if we
Right.
were to analyze the data of emerging economies, we might find other patterns.
Now, you also found that women struggle the most with toxic people after their
Yes.
mid-30s. What do you mean by toxic people, and why do you think you found that?
Yeah, so this is actually the single finding with the most with the highest magnitude of change. So what we found was that toxicity is something we struggle with throughout life, but it's never one of the main struggles that we have. But when we enter our late 30s, suddenly dealing with toxic people becomes one of our main struggles. So when we ask about toxic people, Do you struggle with toxic people? It's up for the interpretation of the person who responds. So when we look at the qualitative data, we see that it's people who in some way make them feel like they have to walk on eggshells, or they make them feel uncomfortable. We could define it as people who make them feel uncomfortable about themselves. And for some reason, this is just spiking in our late 30s and continues to be high up to 60, which is the upper limit for our study. And the reason we chose to limit the study at 60 was to be able to maintain statistical significance. So in age group 36 to 60, dealing with toxic people is a huge challenge compared to younger age groups.
Right.
And our theory is that's because when you're 36 to 60, you are starting to get locked into the social group that you are in. You are in a family. You might be married. You might have your friend group, and that doesn't really change. And also, suddenly in life, you have to meet people who you could just have avoided earlier in life, at work, in school. It's easier to avoid than it is when you are in a structure, in a family, and so on. And that's where you have to meet these people. And that's, we guess, why toxic people suddenly become such a big problem.
Right, from 30 to 60. And, you know, when we're talking about toxic people, that could be a boss, a mother-in-law, which we know for women is a very stressful relationship, extended family, friends that you come into contact again, as you said, that you didn't see for such a long time. But, you know, there's also a theory in social psychology, David, which argues that as people age between 30 and, let's say, 70, which fits your time frame, that we're much more oriented toward the quality of our relationships. So it's not about the quantity of friends or the quantity of people in our, you know, in our circle, but we want good, happy relationships now, which could fit and be an alternative explanation as well. So now, David, we only have a few minutes left. Tell us about what the future holds for SocialPro and maybe another research study, whether it be about men, whether it be about women and men, or 40s, 50s, 60s. What are your plans, if any?
Yeah, so we think it's fascinating to also look at differences between men and women when it comes to social life struggles. That's something we want to do. We've already started looking a little bit at it, and we see one interesting difference that other studies have shown as well, in how men often struggle with trying to be more successful with dating and finding women, whereas women struggle more to find a reliable man who they can build something serious with. So that's something that we think is very interesting, something we will look more into the future. And I'm very excited about SocialPro as a whole, because we're growing so fast, and I really feel like we tapped into something that people really want to know more about, how you interact with people in this very chaotic modern world.
Well, I think social interactions are so important, not only to our health, but to, you know, our quality of life. And again, when we're talking about health, we're talking about physical and psychological health. So those social interactions and an interest in those social interactions, you know, are so very, very important. And if listeners want to keep in contact with you or becoming a member of SocialPro, where should they go, David?
Yeah, so then they should go to socialpronow.com. And we have a free email training there that goes through how to communicate with people, how to make conversation without awkwardness. And we call it conversation advice for overthinkers, which is specifically for people who are often very clever, but just because they get stuck in their own heads, overthink, and they don't know really what to do, and they beat themselves up for that awkward thing they said 3 nights ago. That's what we focus on.
Right. That's great. And I know that many listeners are overthinkers, probably myself included. So thank you so much for joining us, David. I really enjoyed talking to you. What fascinating findings came out from Social Pros research. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And again, listeners, if you want more information about David Morin or Social Pro, go to socialpronow.com. And as always, thank you for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.